I'm Brandon Amoroso, and this is the D2Z podcast, building and growing your business from a Gen Z perspective.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to D2Z, a podcast about using the Gen Z mindset to grow your business. I'm Gen Z entrepreneur Brandon Amoroso, founder and president of Retention as a Service Agency, Electric. Today, I'm talking with Tom Mercer, who's a partner and director at Bean Ninjas, which provides bookkeeping, financial reporting, and training for six-figure plus e-commerce and agency businesses. Thanks for coming on the show today, Tom. I'm excited to chat with you. We haven't had somebody on this side of the e-commerce equation on the show yet, so it should be good to dive in here.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me, Brandon. I'm excited to be here. So, and I think, e-commerce, every e-commerce business owner, it's very important that they do understand this side of the business. So being the first person here to talk about this and highlight the important points is awesome and very beneficial for your followers, I'm sure. So a bit of background about me. I'm a chartered accountant in the UK. And I joined Bean Ninjas about 8 years ago, and we were then just like a remote accountancy practice, a remote bookkeeping firm. And we specialized in e-commerce just before COVID, so the timing was really perfect. It sounds a bit bad to say it that way, but it worked out really well for us. Because we saw there was that niche available, we basically took on some clients that were e-commerce, and we saw the gaps in what bookkeepers could provide for them. And we basically jumped in and filled those gaps with expertise that we grew in-house, and also reaching out to our partners as well. So we managed to basically put together a complete online solution. We mainly work with digital nomads and online entrepreneurs who are very tech savvy. And that made it, the adoption of accounting and, fintech for their company really easy, because people just pick it up. Clients around the age of 30 to 50, they just seem to have a grasp of that knowledge sitting in this niche of e-commerce already.
Yeah, I've found seen at least multiple deals fall through because a brand was in due diligence with a acquiring company and they weren't properly calculating and remitting sales tax, and then you could end up with sometimes even millions of dollars worth of unaccounted for liability because of the fact that you weren't doing that. I guess, could you talk a little bit about just the background of the U.S. sales tax sort of framework and why it's so complicated, and why you just don't set up a Shopify storefront and everything's handled for you automatically? So I think it'd be great to set the stage for those that are listening who, maybe just started their business or are thinking about starting one. Why does it not just happen? Because, taxes are being calculated in checkout with Shopify. What's the gap? What's currently missing?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's something I see quite a lot. And it's not a bad thing. It's generally the mindset of an e-commerce seller that is to sell. But yeah, unfortunately, with that comes taxes. It's a good thing to pay taxes because it means you're making money, but it's not good if you don't get set up and start accounting for it straight away. In my kind of wise words for this is it's better to preempt. If you leave the sales taxes, they will come back to you at some point and get hold of you for the history of it. So, you might feel like 2 years has gone by and there's been no communication from IRS or anything, but when they do get hold of you, they will ask for that back tax, and it's a lot of money to go out the door straight away. So in terms of USA sales tax, it's very complicated because each state has their own registration rules. So some base the registration on volume of sales, like dollar value. Others base it on number of sales, and then some base it on a combination of the two. So each state has its own rules, and then some states as well have it where it depends where the buyer is. Some have it where it depends where the seller is. So it's really complicated actually to manage USA taxes. And then once you've actually registered for the sales tax, again, it's there's a lot of states that you need to register the tax in and pay, remit that to the authorities. So yeah, it can be very difficult to manage it, especially if you're not finance minded, which may not be a lot of the strong points of an e-commerce seller is mainly advertising. I find they're very good at the advertising and maybe source product side of things. And then the kind of admin is something that they're not so strong on. But it's funny you mentioned you've seen companies fall through when they're trying to sell. And that's what I always liken that to kind of selling a house. So when you sell a house, you've had these annoying little things that have been pestering you for years and years and years, and you just don't fix them. They're just kind of in the back of your mind. But when you kind of come to sell the house, you start to get everything fixed and get it in order. So when you actually have a nice, you know, fully running house that you're happy with, you know, you're selling it. So, you know, with e-commerce, it's the same. Always think of, you know, if I want to sell the business tomorrow, how do I get this, you know, business ready? And then you can live with a nice, clean, you know, easy to run business rather than handing a nice, clean, easy to run business over to someone else while you struggle with it for a few years.
Got it. Yeah. Leave that to, I guess, the U.S. Government and financial institutions to make things overly complex. And what now has always confused me is like where you do or don't need to register for sales tax too. Because if you are just selling online, how do you go about assessing, you know, where you actually have to register your business? Because, you know, you're technically shipping into potentially all 50 states or all 48 contiguous states.
Yeah, so the good thing, there is software available to help you. So generally, we lean on softwares like TaxJar, and there's a few others out there, TaxCalc, things like that, that you can plug right into your Shopify and Amazon store. And basically, they do two things. So the first thing is they will, you know, assess your sales right up until you have to register, and then they'll kind of alert you that you need to register in, you know, this state and this state. They won't automatically register you, but they will provide a list of, you know, recommended accountants on the ground that can register you in that particular state. And then once you're registered, it's very simple. Basically, these softwares, TaxJar, will automatically calculate the sales tax due per state based on what's coming from your Amazon and Shopify store. So you can't get much easier than that, you know. 10 years ago, you would have been struggling a lot, but these days there's this great solution. And all you'll receive kind of each month or each quarter, depending, you know, on the state that you're registered in, you will receive like an email just saying you need to pay XXX amount to this state and to another bill for another state. So it really automates the process and takes that worry out of the back of your mind that, you know, you don't have to calculate that, or you don't have to pay an accountant a lot of money to do it for you. Because as mentioned, you could be remitting in up to 50 states. So if, for example, you need 50 separate accountants in each state to do those sales tax for you, that's a lot of work and a lot of money going out the door.
Got it. Yeah, the tax software sort of landscape as well is relatively confusing with how many different players there are. Are you typically recommending like one solution over another, or how do you go about that with merchants?
There's definitely a lot of players out there, and it can be a bit daunting when you start to, you know, step into the field of which one to choose, because you don't want to pick the wrong one. What we normally go with TaxJar. That's the one we use with our clients and recommend. That's just because of ease of use. I think it's the easiest one to set up and get rolling. So like everything, all the softwares we kind of pick within Bean Ninjas is softwares that we understand as an accountant, but we also make sure it's the easiest software to understand for people who aren't, you know, financially minded and who don't want to know, but do just want to make sure that they are on the right side for all the regulations. So yeah, TaxJar is the one we recommend, but yeah, it also depends on the software that you use. So TaxJar is really good for Shopify and Amazon users. And then there's other solutions if you're on maybe WooCommerce and things like that as well.
Yeah, when it comes to Shopify Plus and their partnership with Avalara, are your merchants typically using Avalara or other alternatives there?
I'm not using Avalara. We're still kind of plugging into TaskShare. I don't want to say anything bad about Avalara, but I feel the support from TaskShare is a lot better, a lot quicker. I always kind of sit with that integration for both, because you can, as well, especially if you're omnichannel, you've got Shopify and you've got Amazon as well. It's really good to plug in all of these different channels that you have for your sales.
Got it. That makes sense. So when you're onboarding a merchant, well, I guess one question would be, because you mentioned you work with merchants and you work with agencies. What is the what are the tax implications for an agency?
Like an online agent site, like selling courses and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say they're very similar. It's based on the sales limits are still the same into each state. The tax laws are going to be slightly different. I'm not a USA tax specialist, so I won't be able to kind of dive into that. But it might services and products are different into Europe at least. They depend on where the seller is or where the provider is. So that's the difference on the European side anyway. In the USA, couldn't say the difference, but I would imagine that the rules are pretty much the same in terms of the volume of transactions and the overall turnover per state that you need to register in.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. So what are the types of businesses that you're typically working with?
Types of businesses that we generally work with are normally digital nomads, people who work from their own location or they move around quite a bit. We have people that travel to all sorts of places, which is really good fun to kind of follow the clients. So we don't generally have any businesses that kind of the standard brick and mortar business like plumbers or shops or things like that. They're all online digital agencies, e-commerce businesses. So e-commerce makes up probably about 80% of our clients. And the age group, I'd say, is kind of, as I mentioned, it's that 25 to 40 kind of age group where people are using that tech to help support the sales. And basically, people like ourselves, we all work independent as well. And we all kind of move around as we work. So we kind of like to share that lifestyle with our clients.
And what made you want to start the business versus go out on your own and have your own venture
Mine was a bit of a long story. Yeah. So what basically got me into online is I lived in Mexico City in 2010. So I was there for, I was in Cancun 1 year and 1 year in Mexico City. And when I moved to Mexico City, it was kind of one job after another, and there's like lots of excuses not to pay me, working for local companies because I was a foreigner. So there's a lot of things they knew when I started the job, and then it didn't come to me till it was payday. So basically there's a lot of time I cycled through about 3 or 4 jobs and didn't get paid from any of them. So I kind of had to return back home to UK at that time. And then I was determined I was going to make my own money, and so I didn't have to depend on the local people. So I could go live anywhere in the world and have my own money, have my own income, and just kind of be happy with what I'm doing. So I kind of thought, what's one thing that's the same everywhere? And it was numbers. That's where the dive into accountancy started, and also I started after a couple of years of experience. I started pulling in a few private clients, kind of just to test the online world. And then it's lucky I crossed paths with Bean Ninjas just over 8 years ago now, who were similarly aligned, and they started in Australia. And they kind of organically grown. It wasn't really a plan for them to grow, outside of Australia, I don't think at the time. But they took on a few UK clients, and that's kind of where I slid into the business with them. And I think there's about 3 or 4 of us at the time, and then we've grown over the last years to about 40 to 50 team members in total.
What's been the biggest surprises, and what have you been surprised by in a positive way? What have you been surprised by in a negative way? Going out and starting your own venture.
I think the great thing of it is the freedom it gives you. I just love that we can just, you know, travel and take a laptop with us. So I go to Spain for 3 months every year just to change scenery. British weather isn't the nicest to hang around in all year long. So it's really good that we have that. And we also, you know, our team members have that option as well. We like to extend it out to our team members to go live, move around as they wish. So that's one of the big positives of it. And I guess the downside is being remote. It does have that kind of solitude with it a little bit. You know, you don't have that talk at the water cooler. There's chats and, you know, a bit of banter with the team that are there in the office with you. I have my dog, but he doesn't. Yeah, it's a bit of a one-way conversation. So luckily, kind of, I break the days up with going to CrossFit or going to a gym or something like that, just to kind of get that social moment in the day. So yeah, I'd say I've been working. Working remotely for seven, 8 years now. And I've kind of got into that rhythm of it. I think, it would be hard for me to return to, you know, general office day life. I think it would just be, so difficult to sit in traffic for an hour or two a day.
Yes, I definitely empathize with the traffic side of things. You know, when we started the business, pretty much during COVID, so it really was, remote first from the get-go. But in my new ventures, definitely going with like a hybrid approach, because I think if you're starting a company from the ground up, it can be difficult to not have that interaction and that ability to collaborate back and forth whenever you need, or just pull somebody into a room. So there's definitely
pros. Yeah, exactly. Onboarding new team members can be a little more challenging, I think, than it would be if we had an office. But luckily, the recruitment that we have is quite good. So we bring in the right people, and that does help. But yeah, having an office and being able just to walk over, as you said, is a lot easier to have that going back and forth conversations and for them to ask for help when they do need it.
Yeah. Hopping back to the tax side of things, what's the one thing that you see trip up most e-commerce businesses that, if they're listening to this, they should be checking on their end ASAP?
Yeah, so I guess the main thing is it's not directly taxed, but it does impact. Is a lot of standard accountants, they're used to, one bank account or two bank accounts and a standard way of business. This basically costs e-commerce businesses a lot of money. So what they have is, you might have with PayPal, with Shopify, you have PayPal methods through Stripe, through PayPal. All these different payment methods. So the one thing that I see impact tax the most is an accountant might reconcile all of your sales when it hits PayPal and Stripe. And then, when it transfers the money to the bank, I've seen it happen countless times now. And they basically, when that one payout comes across, they count that as revenue as well. So in effect, sometimes e-commerce businesses are paying double tax because their revenue has been counted twice in their books. It's more common than it sounds. You think it's something that's fairly easy to spot, but it is a big trip hole that we see, and that's where we kind of come in. And that's where we bring in as much automation as possible with us. The more automation and the less human involvement, the less chance there is of error. And then what we have, as I mentioned, our team, they're an amazing team that do a review each month on the Xero files. We work only with Xero. I'm not sure if you've heard of them before, but it's basically an online accounting software, and that's like your central pivotal section. So every month there's a review on those, just to make sure things like that aren't happening and everything is reconciled properly back to Amazon and Shopify. So you're not doubling up on your taxes because of income counted twice.
Got it. Okay. And then one other follow-up question I have to that, if that's like the one thing that they, should be looking out for, when do you recommend that they make the jump from doing things, in-house or, just trying to figure it out themselves versus transitioning to, a partner like yourself?
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on everyone's particular level of accounting knowledge. So you know, if you're someone that has a little bit of a background, you might be able to, you know, start the first couple of months. What I actually recommend to people is for example, us, and I'm sure other e-commerce firms offer the same thing, is we offer like a setup of Xero, and basically that's the integration of all your softwares and Shopify and Amazon into Xero as well using A2X. And then included in that is some training. So that's kind of like a cheaper option because it's like a one-off service. And then we, as part of that, you get your training on how to manage your books yourself, you know, do the reconciliations, make sure the Amazon and Shopify sales are being accounted for. And even at that early stage, you might not need the tax jar setting up, but we can integrate it for you. So yeah, if you know, sales don't take off straight away, that's a very good option. So I wouldn't always ever recommend just leaving it a couple of years or a couple of months and then try to set it up, and then you have to kind of backdate everything, because then you don't have the knowledge of what that transaction is for. It's easy to forget, you know, what you purchased if you're trying to do it a year down the line, and documents get lost. It's harder to find them. And then, you know, when you start getting to a point where you're growing your sales, and maybe just a little bit before you start to feel overloaded, because there's a, especially e-commerce entrepreneur, you try to take on, you know, all the hats of your business. You know, your stock control, your accounting, or your marketing. You're trying to wear all those hats. So I'd say probably because it's probably your weakest point, I would outsource accounting when you start to feel your time is getting squeezed. So you can really focus that on the marketing and the other items of your business. And there's options out there, as I mentioned. You can go for full service like Bean Ninja that take care of everything, or you can look for VAs, which they can be good. It just means you have to vet them, and you know they're not all always what they make themselves out to be at the start.
Yes, I've tried the VA route, and that has. Now, I know some people it works really well for them, and they've been able to make it happen, but I haven't been able to yet, and on my end,
It's trying to find a diamond in the rough. I feel when you try to go through Fiverr and you know, like the VA moves, it's you can go through you know, three or four bad ones before you find that one that, you know, fits really perfectly and works for you and your business.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of it is referral based, but then, you know, why would you? There's only one person. So if you're getting a referral of a good one, you know, that they're already being used by somebody. So then you end up like splitting time, and then people get too busy. My preference has always just been to hire right out of college, and have them be based in the US, and they can sort of shadow and learn, but also, you know, pick up and do a bunch of different things. And that'll last for 6 to 12 months. And then they go off, you know, after they figure out what they actually want to do. But that's worked pretty well for us in the past.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I kind of go the other way. I never hire anyone straight out of college or university. So I feel it's like a lot of things. I feel with what you learn in the book, it's a little different to how you apply it in real life. So I like to have that kind of experience, you know, a couple of years experience under their belt before they go. But I guess with going to college route, you do have someone that comes with a lot of energy that's really good, that you can really shape to how you want things to run. So it's interesting that you found that other way works for you.
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest thing is just finding, you know, people that are hungry and motivated and want to learn, and then everything else can sort of fall into place.
Yeah. Especially with working remote, it's amazing like how many want the job at first, but they might just start disappearing. You know, you're sending messages and they're just like falling out in the matrix somewhere. They're not answering back, and they're just, you know, it is more important, I feel, to have someone that you can trust and rely on when you are, you know, just a remote worker, because you obviously don't have eyes on them the whole time to make sure they're coming in at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was super insightful. You know, taxes are a pain for everybody, but I think when it comes to e-commerce businesses, it's even more confusing and complex given the scope of where they're selling, especially in the US. And I guess not even really touching on international or any of the things that go into that if you want to start establishing you know, Nexus there. But I know there's some solutions with like Shopify Markets Pro and things of that nature. You know, what's one last thing that you would give as a, you know, as a tip or piece of advice to any merchant that's listening?
Yeah, perfect. So the advice I'd go is if you feel you're starting to stress about taxes and, you know, that it's going a little bit over your head, it's better to reach out early because the later you reach out, the more messy it's going to be and, you know, the more expensive it's going to be at that time. So as soon as you start feeling that kind of pressure of taxes over your shoulder, reach out to a professional and get some help. And, it's worth it just to get yourself to sleep more comfortably at night, if nothing else. So, better to get yourself set up properly. But no, thanks very much for having me then, Brandon. It's been awesome speaking to you.
Of course. Before we hop, can you let everybody know where they can find you online?
Yeah, sure. So our company name is Bean Ninjas, and you can find us just online at beanninjas.com. And you can see our services there for USA, UK, and Australia.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. For everybody listening, as always, this is Brandon Amoroso. You can find me at brandonamoroso.com or electricmarketing.com. And we will see you next time.